This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is Racer Radio, and it's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue. Stands the man when it comes to carburation and fuel injection. And Black Forest Motorsports. If you have a BMW, Mini, or a Porsche, Black Forest is where you need to be. 40 years experience. They build race cars, and they take care of street cars. They are the best when it comes to making your BMW, Mini, or Porsche sing like a dream. Check them out at blackforestautomotive.com. All right, we got Brittany Sandoval on the line. That would be dwarf car number 37. How you doing, kid?
I'm well. How you doing, Dave?
Can you imagine not having your cell phone for 5 hours?
Cell phone, the Zoom has become really popular, yeah. But I heard you left your phone in your car.
Yeah, how nice was that of me to do that? So, you get to introduce Vernon Hubbard and kind of give us a little background on this gentleman.
Okay, well, it's kind of funny how we met. He runs out of Petaluma, and we were sure to meet sooner or later because he's part of the dwarf car family, mm-hmm. Fairly new to it. It came quickly out in, we were in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and my crew chief comes running back to the pits, and he says, "Did you know there's a guy walking around in his race suit that says Smithfield on the back?" And we're like, "We got to get talking to this guy because we have a bacon connection." Yeah. So I thought, he can talk about racing today because he's definitely a racer. But he is also he's kind of hosting a coloring contest for kids of the racetrack. So I thought it'd be fun to hear about both today.
All right.
Vernon Hubbard.
So how you doing, Vernon?
Hey, how you guys doing? How's it going, Dave, Brittany?
I tell racers all the time, you need to get a food sponsor. You always need food when you're at the track, right?
Oh, yeah. It helps stack the race trailer. You got to stock that up for all your fans and all your people helping you.
So how long you been?
Exactly.
How long you been racing?
I've been in this for about a year. Last year, about this time, I decided to go out and do this. I was kind of going through a midlife thing, and my buddy said, "Come check out these dwarf cars." And I fell in love with them, and then got intrigued by the camaraderie and just everything involved with these little cars. It's been a great deal. It's a real passion of me and my family's now. We're all involved, from my 7-year-old to my 7-year-old dad. He's my crew chief, and my daughter's my number one fan, and my wife. It's been a good run this year.
And that's what's interesting about motorsports. I mean, I've been doing a motorsport radio show for about 30 years, and I try to tell people, whether I see them on the street or if I see them at where I work, and they got kids, I'll say, you want to know the best motivator for your kids? Get them a race car. Or get yourself one and get the family involved, because it really pulls a family together. Plus, you're having the time of your life.
Absolutely. My daughter really misses being a race kid right now with everything that's going on. That's one of the reasons that we kind of came up with that coloring contest that we got going on my Facebook page there. It's just to kind of keep the kids intrigued and keep them interested and wanting to go to the races and being a part of that team. And that's why we got that going on.
So what's your Facebook page? I mean, I'm sure it's Vernon Hubbard.
Yeah, well, it's Hubbard Family Racing.
Okay.
On Facebook, and the actual coloring contest is all laid out. It's clipped to the top. You just print that out. My address is on there. We're going to put them up in the shop, and we're going to pick them out by age group. My daughter's going to pick the winner age group, and we're going to be sending out some cool activity prizes, age appropriate. All ages. So just something to do and keep everybody, kind of going while we're not able to go to the track.
Well, yeah, and I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, because you know, I've seen the artist's rendition, so your imagination can do whatever you want. The way that car is laid out for colors and stripes, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we've already gotten a few in, and I'll be posting some videos as I get more and more in. Just I want the kids to be able to sit down and dream up what they want their race car to look like in a few years. Because those are the kids that are going to be keeping these racetracks going. You know, the race kids now are going to be the people that are racing us, or watching us when we're racing bets, and we're going to be helping them. So that's what we want to keep going.
So where's your home track?
My home track is Petaluma. I race with the Redwood Dwarf Car Association. I also do the whole Western State Series, nationals and regionals. We were on a good run. We had a good plan for this year. We were going for some good stuff, and you know, everything kind of got blown apart. But we're ready to get back at it.
Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, I don't know if you heard, Brittany, but they're starting to open up. They opened up Glen Helen motorcycle track.
They opened, I've been paying attention.
Yeah, and they opened up Paris Motorcycle Track. So I think we're just going to end up going to the races and driving a little bit different than normal. There's going to be distancing and what have you. But, yeah, I mean, we got to get this stuff back open again. Otherwise, we're all going to go crazy.
Absolutely.
Well, I know. I do it for the health of it. I think most of us do it. It's my drug of choice, if you will.
Right. No, it's bacon.
It's a full-time passion. You know, you got to be involved full-time, too, with this team, you know. Cars and everything. It's a full-time deal, and it keeps your mind right.
And so it's fun.
You need to get back.
Yeah, and it keeps you busy because there's maintenance, and heaven forbid you crash. You got to fix it.
Family together. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. No, and that's
his family is in. I've met them all. His daughter's cute as button. Wife is very energetic. Met dad. He was over in the pit. This is all up in Oregon last year when I met him. They are all on board.
Right. And I think that's just it's awesome. Now, did you do any racing prior to the Dwarf car, or was this just, oh, yeah, let me try this out?
No, I didn't. I have an older daughter, a 27-year-old daughter who lives out in Oklahoma, and she raced quads when she was younger. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of been around it, but I had never raced anything personally. So it was just kind of a climb in and do it. My first race was a national, and we just went for it, and it's been been off. I had a lot of help along the way. I mean, I got a whole list full of drivers and race shops that just help us out. I've never been involved in anything where people wanted you to be faster. Everybody in this whole dwarf car thing wants you to go faster. They want to help you be faster so they can race you.
Right.
They want the competition, and I think that's awesome.
Well, and they want to be able to race you safe and with good equipment so that nothing's going to break and no one's going to get hurt. And Brittany is a perfect example. You know, I mean, when she came into the racing world, she didn't know what she was doing, right?
Oh, heck no. I still don't know things I don't know.
But you do it well.
Yeah, you learn something. I learned something, and Vernon, I'm sure you're doing the same every single race, whether it's setup or mental or how to read a racetrack or how to overcome an obstacle, like every single time I walk away with something.
Yeah,
I learn every time just from watching people. I watch Joe Frock, I watch you and Tim Fitzpatrick, and I watch all these guys and how they attack something. And I learn just from watching. You know, it's been a good ride for me and my family this year, and I just can't wait to keep it going.
I know. So with that being said, before you do end up going, who have you got on the side of the car that helps get you to the track in lieu of sponsors?
You know what? I've been super blessed. Well, you know, my wife's my number one sponsor. She lets me do what I need to do to keep that car going.
Know,
she does. I have a Code 3 Fire and Safety they've helped me out for 2 years for the both years this time. And I got Crane Inspection Agency on the side. I got the Downtown Lending Group. They're a part of Caliber Home Loans. I got Zumaluma Graphics out of Petaluma. I got JT GoFast. He actually made the car, and he's there weekly helping me out with setups and stuff. Dameron Racing out of Las Vegas. Probably call him more. I probably talk to him more than I talk to the other part of my family. Stone Motorsports, Pit Lights. You know, I've been really, really blessed with a lot of people that believe in us and let us, you know, help us do what we want to do and have some fun.
Sure. How old are you?
I am 40 years old. This all kind of kicked off when I turned 40.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. No, nothing wrong with that.
5 years.
For me.
5 years, and I'm coming for you in bits there, Vernon.
Okay. I like that. I like it, Vernon.
Whatever you do, don't go up and talk to her when she's in the car. She will tear your face off.
You think I'm will never forgive me.
Never. Oh, my goodness. You thought she was Dale Earnhardt. Well, she was getting ready to go out, and I know she was talking to her crew chief. And so I stick my head in the window, and I start talking, and no.
Brack was talking to me. I'm telling him, I can't hear you. They're talking in my ear.
That's so cute.
But whatever.
All right, you two guys stay on. And then let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk some more until Case Todd does call in. If not, he's having fun out there. And I know what he's doing. He's getting the track ready. So that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
All right. Let's take a quick break. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Hey, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track. Actually, El Cajon Ford keeps Barona Circle Track going in circles. I'm telling you, El Cajon Ford, they are a fantastic business and an advertiser. Paul Dyke races, his kids race. I mean, he supports Barona like as if it was his own. But hey, if you haven't been to Barona Speedway, it's not running yet, but it will be. In fact, Todd Salazar, I got a sneaky feeling, is out there as we speak, grooming either the track or the pits. What are you doing, Todd?
I actually just got home.
Oh, okay. How'd the track look?
Like a bomb went off.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine. Yeah, all this rain we've had. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. Weeds everywhere. The roads are all smoked. We lots of stuff to do.
Well, I know. I mean, what you need to do is have a cleanup party. But everybody just has to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart.
What I'm planning on, I had our race director and Nick Novak, you know Nick.
Oh, yeah.
They came and met me out the track this morning. And I'm going to get some tractors out there this week, and I'm going to start just getting everything ready because it looks like, you know, we're getting ready to open stuff up, and I just want to be ready so that I don't, have too much work to do if we do, break open.
Sure. Well, I don't know if you heard, but Glen Helen opened today. You can only put 75 vehicles in the pits. You know, everybody has to do the 6 foot, but they supposedly, I think they held a race today, and then Paris off-road track. I didn't even know they had one, to be honest with you. Motorcycle track, I didn't even know they had one, but they opened up.
Star West, I believe it's what it is.
So they opened up, so it looks to me, but who makes a decision about Barona?
Well, it's our decision, inevitably. But the whole thing is we got to be safe. Oh. Everyone's got to be safe.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I mean, what I want to do is I just want to get ready. And it's really depressing going out there and just looking at everything sitting there. And here we are the end of April.
I know.
And nothing's going on. So I just want to get everything going. Cocopaw, I talked to Brad Whitfield, and he went out. Did you hear that the Kenny Schrader, that they had a race? I believe it was last night.
Oh, I did. How did that? And they pulled it off?
I talked to him this morning. He said that, you know, everyone had facial coverings. They did the social distancing. I don't know how many spectators they had.
Yeah.
But he's coming back either tomorrow or the next day from South Dakota. Brad Whitfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he's planning on doing some stuff there. So, practice-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm going down there when he does his deal. And I'm going to, you know, watch it, see what they're doing, how they're doing it.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to go from there. So, as soon as we get the green light, you know, as far as that we're, you know, it's we're okay and so on and so forth, then I'm game on.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and even if you just started off with open practice, I mean, that's better than nothing because everybody is, you know, no one's been driving. So everybody could use, you know, some track time just to get the bugs out of the cars, you know, get themselves, you know, more acclimated back to racing again. So you're right. Safety is always going to come first. But I think if you just open it up, you know, for open practice for the, I think that's a good way to go.
I talked with Paul, had a good conversation with Paul Dyke on Friday. And with Roger Harper today and, you know, Nick and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan, what we want to do once we get the green light to do practices is do something where we limit people on the property, the amount of cars that we're bringing in mm-hmm. on the property, like do two different four-hour sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Limit the cars, limit the people, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
They can come in, do their practice, let's say in the morning, say you did it, you know, 10 to noon.
Mm-hmm.
Or nine to noon, do an hour in between, grade the track, water the track, do whatever we have to do, and then do something till, you know, before it gets dark.
Yeah.
So that's just what we're thinking, you know, do the social distancing, no spectators.
Right.
You know, lock the front gate, you know, whatever. Just follow the regulations, follow what we have to do.
Right. Well, because the last thing you want to be is the person that caused a flare up.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do anything to endanger anyone.
No, and I know that's the way you and your family roll, and I appreciate it. By the way, did you see that post I put on KUSI that was like 4 years old about all the cars out? I just had to do it. It popped up, and I said, oh, I got to share that. Of course, everybody thought the racing had already started, so I had to go in and explain to everybody that read the post.
Yeah. No, we are going to follow guidelines. I talked to Brent Sexton. You know, he called in here several weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he's got his new group.
Mm-hmm.
They lost some dates. So I think that, unfortunately, we printed like 3,000 schedules. We're probably just going to trash those. And we're going to talk about it this week. I got a couple of meetings this week, meeting with people. And we're going to, if he wants to change dates around, you know, putting the sprint cars on, you know, then we'll change things around and just do forward progress.
Right. Well, as soon as you get some kind of a date, I don't care what I have scheduled on KUSI, I'll reschedule it and get you guys on. So the minute you guys are comfortable, no pressure at my end, because like I said, I'll adjust accordingly. You know, when you're ready to pull the trigger, then we'll definitely get some cars on KUSI, maybe not as big as we normally would, maybe just one from each division or something like that, but we'll work it out. I'll definitely take care of that for you.
You know, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, I think that this will be a big thing for our community.
Yep.
You know, as far as getting back to whatever normalcy that we can, however you want to say it.
Right.
You know, we're watching this crazy stuff on TV and all this stuff.
Yeah.
This is something to ease our minds and have a good time.
Right. But it's going to change us at least for a while till we get a handle on this pandemic, whether we get a medicine to be able to stop it, a flu shot, whatever the case may be. So we're going to have to just live our lives a little bit differently until such time as we get a handle on it. And I think once we get a handle on it, I think we can go pretty much back to normal. You might not shake hands as much as you used to, but, you know, because we're going to be pretty cognizant of what this pandemic can do to a community. And we definitely don't want this back. at all.
No, absolutely not. You know, I just want everyone to be safe, like I've said. And, you know, the kids, you know, go out and have a good time at the track, but I want everyone to be safe.
Yeah, exactly. You and me both. Because there's not a race out there worth it.
You know, absolutely not.
If you're going to endanger anybody, and I don't care what age they are, you know, it's just, and I don't care. You could be mad at me all day long, but unless it's, you know, unless it's safe, and people are going to have to be smart, because if they want to, you know, once things open up, if you go and do something stupid, for example, I can't think of the name of it, but it's out in Mission Beach or something. They opened up this little area, and people came in by the hundreds. Well, then they had to come in and close it back down again. So we can't do that. People got to, you know, if you want to keep it open, you got to be responsible.
And that's what we want to do. That's why with doing, you know, the cars at the racetrack, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to get too many people on property.
Right.
And, you know, we just got to do the right thing.
Exactly.
And I'm being out there today, you know, it was a little different. I've been out there a couple times, mm-hmm. but it's just weird that I don't know if the word you use is surreal, but weeds everywhere and whatnot. And here we're three races into the season at the end of April.
Yeah.
And we got nothing going. It's a ghost town.
Well, it's like you found a racetrack in the hills and didn't even know it was there. I bet. Yes.
Like a deserted track.
Got to get some goats.
I think the only one that is not happy is Trisha, because she likes her normal life, not having to go to the track every other week. So I stopped by Big Five before I came home.
Yeah.
And Roger and Nancy broke the news at what we were doing, and she didn't hit me too hard.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, but she says that now, but once it gets rolling again, and she's got to reach out to me more often. I'll help her every way possible. She's got to bug me. I love doing this.
She's had some hardship. Her uncle passed away. Uncle Bill passed away last Friday. He had lymph node cancer. And then her 94-year-old grandma had heart surgery middle of March, right, when all this craziness. So she's been helping taking care of her. And she's had some craziness going on in her life. But grandma's okay.
Great.
Unfortunately, Uncle Bill passed away.
Yeah. But, well, I'm serious. She could just say, hey, Dave, can you contact this person? Dave, can you do this? Because other than radio and early morning TV, I ain't doing nothing. And
we're going to make this happen.
Yeah. And I will do it free of charge to take some pressure off of not only her, but you and the whole family. You know, because one's stressed, you're all stressed.
My mom came over. I've seen my mom twice. In the last 2 months, she came over yesterday and saw the kids.
Excellent.
And we're Tatum, you know, Tatum raised one of the mini dwarfs.
Yeah.
And the boy's going to be 5 next year.
Wow.
So he asked about when he gets his race car. So I talked to Billy Baldwin today. I've had lots of conversations.
Yeah.
Normalcy will be coming back, I hope.
You got it, buddy. Hey, take care, man. Give the family a big hug for me, and we will definitely get this thing going. And you just tell Trish, don't feel weird. Start bugging me.
Will do.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for your time.
All right, my pleasure, folks. That is Barona Speedway. Go to Barona.com and find out everything that they got going on, because once they're back, it is going to be off the charts. BaronaSpeedway.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the folks at Paris Auto Speedway, because they're fighting at the bit, too, to get open right here on FM 96.1. AM 1170, The Answer. I want to be sedated. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California, located right there at the fairgrounds. Go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com for all the updates as to when they're going to open the track up. It's kind of a day-by-day situation. Right now we have Chris Ganson on the line. Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How about yourself?
Well, I left my cell phone at home, and all the information as to who you are is in it.
Well, this should be interesting then.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? It's not a bad thing not having my cell phone. I'm not going to totally complain. So I assume you're a race driver?
Yes, I race with the USAC CRA series. We finished fifth in the point series last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And I bet you were ready for this season.
Yeah, we were ready. We raced two shows at the beginning of March. Then we've been on hold since then, along with the rest of the racing community.
Yeah, well, slowly but surely, you know, I don't know if you heard any of the other shows, but Glen Helen just opened up their motorcycle park, and you know, they're restricting how many bikes can be there, and you know, all of that. And I think Paris, their motorcycle track is open. So things are slowly but surely, but we as fans and participants have to really watch what we do, because all it's going to take is one group or one person screwing it up, and then it's back to square one again. So hopefully that won't happen, but I think Don will be real cognizant on when he's going to open up.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we definitely, even if we get the green light to open up, we got to make sure we're all doing our part to stay safe. I don't think we're quite clear out of the wind of this virus, but I mean, I think everybody would be on board to do whatever it takes to get back to doing the things we love. I know it's going to be difficult for the fans. There might not be as much interaction with the race teams and the drivers as there was for a little bit. So, but hopefully we could come up with something to try to keep people involved and keep safe distancing.
Well, exactly. And I think what you're probably going to see is your local track will probably open up for, you know, limited practice, you know, with a limited amount of cars, no spectators, you know, just to get you guys and girls out on the track, you know, break in the car, start driving again, make adjustments, kind of get ready for the season when it opens. And I think what tracks will do is they'll say, okay, let's see how this worked out. Okay, that worked out fine, but we got to change this, we got to change that, and then do it again, and then maybe again, and then eventually open it up for spectators. And maybe even at a limited but see, Paris has got such a great layout for bleachers. They can do spacing fairly well and still get enough people in there to make the event worthwhile.
Absolutely. I mean, Paris, you know, Don Kazarian and everybody there, they got probably one of the premier facilities in the country, and they got a huge grandstand. So, you know, hopefully maybe they could work something out where we could still get a decent amount of fans and have the safety things that we need.
So how long you been racing?
Been racing for 25 years.
Wow.
I started in quarter midgets at 5 years old, and we've been going nonstop since then, pretty much. So
that's awesome. You got any kids coming up doing it?
Yes. I got my 5-year-old son Landon. We got him quarter midgets over the winter, and he's been doing a lot of practicing, and unfortunately his first race got canceled. So he's itching to go racing, and then, you know, on top of it, we can't practice with him. So he's you know, you got a 5-year-old with a really cool toy and he can't go play with it, so he's struggling with that.
I bet he sits in it a lot.
Yes, he was just he was out in the garage about a half hour ago asking if he could sit in it. So just doing what we can with him, and trying to keep his life as normal as possible in this is
right.
But me and my wife have really tried our best, so you know, he isn't affected by this.
Exactly. So where are you guys based at?
We're based just north of San Bernardino, in between DeVore and San Bernardino, a little small town called Birdiemont Heights.
Okay.
So it's not a very big town.
Well, my point was, I do local television here in San Diego, and I'm always trying to find young drivers. Like, we could bring your 5-year, like, say, I don't know if you've ever planned to come down to Barona Speedway, or if you come to Paris, you know, maybe come down one night before, or come, you know, like come down, race on Saturday and then spend the night and then come to San Diego on Sunday. And what I'll do is I'll put your little boy on TV along with you, the cars. And what that's good for is your sponsors. Because, yeah. And I know your sponsors love you, otherwise they wouldn't support you. But this would be a great way for you to give back to your sponsors, because the TV segment I put you on is the number one watch show, you know, on the here in San Diego. And so, and then I'm happy to do that. You can get all my contact info from Scott. And speaking of sponsors, tell us about some of the sponsors that have got you on the track and your son.
Yeah, so I mean, our main sponsor and support for many years now is Tom and Kevin Malloy of the Trent Shoring Company. They've been a big supporter now for about 15 years for us. Then we have you know, my mom and dad, they've owned the cars for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. I have our chassis manufacturer, Maxim, for the sprint car. Then my little kid, Sherman Race Cars, for the quarter midgets. We have Cook King and Stainless Steel Fabrication, which they make like industrial stainless cooktops for a lot of the supply companies.
Mm.
Then King Race Products, which they build a lot of the sprint car parts. Components. We have Kaiser Wheels, Circle Track Performance with Mel Murphy. He's out of Riverside. He's kind of the track supporter for Paris with parts of the track and mm-hmm. fuel and stuff. Then I got Mark Priestley, who is partners with us. He used to actually own the famous number 7 car that raced for a long time with USAC CRA, yellow 7 car. And
oh, yeah.
He got out of racing, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Then when Mike Spencer was teammates for me, Mark came on and partnered with us. And after Mike's retirement, Mark has really stayed on and, you know, been a pretty good help for us. It's always nice. I got Cash Graphics. He's a vinyl sign guy that's local in my area. He's done my cars for 20 years now. Then I got Knowles Equipment Rentals. He's a small little backhoe guy. Then that's pretty much it for the most part. I mean, we got a lot of sponsors that have been with us for a lot of years, which is very hard to do mm-hmm. in today's time. And I really try my best to make sure everybody is catered to what they're looking to get out of it. When mm-hmm. I get somebody that wants to sponsor me, my biggest thing is I want to ask them what they're looking for, not what necessarily what I want. I want to make sure I could give them what they're wanting.
Right.
And that's kind of difficult. And it's, you know, it changes from all kinds of budgets. And, you know, some people just want to do it because they love racing.
Mm-hmm.
And other people want to make sure they, you know, they want their sticker in a certain spot. And we do our best to accommodate everybody. You know, it's, we can't do it without them for sure. So, you know, there's no sponsor too small for us mm-hmm. and we like to do whatever we can for everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. That's because I bring a lot of little kids into my studio, and I strap the headphones on them and stick the mic in their face. And, you know, some of them get about as big around as a hubcap because they didn't realize that they were going to go live on radio. You know, because you never know. Your child may turn out to be the best sprint car driver out there. You just never know. But if they don't know how to talk and they don't know how to communicate, then that makes it a little bit more difficult. So I have a lot of fun. You know, and I get the kids on. Got to tell you one cute story. So I think he was 9 years old, and a kid could drive like nobody's business. And his grandfather was really a great driver here in San Diego. So both of them are sitting in the studio, and so I asked him, I said, so, I said, you looking for sponsorships? And he goes, nope. I think he's like 8, 9 years old. He goes, nope, don't need any. And I went, really? He goes, yep, I got Papa. And that's who's sitting over in the chair. And Papa's over there swinging his arms back and forth. No, no, we need sponsors. We need sponsors. And this little guy would not give it up. Nope, don't need any sponsors. Nope, I'm okay. Got it. We're good. Poor Papa's in the back having a heart attack because, you know, it can get pretty expensive if, you know, depending on how deep you get into it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, before I forget, there was one sponsor that we got that just came on this year, Cam 2 Racing Oil. They came on to support all our lubrication needs for this year, and that's a big sponsor too. I mean, it's a product sponsor, but it's a big savings with these 410 aluminum race engines. They require a lot of maintenance on them to keep them running good. So,
yeah. Well, you need to get a feather in your cap, too. I mean, all those sponsors, you just, those are top drawer sponsors. You know, I mean, you're right. You'll take a dollar sponsor all the way up. But, I mean, and for you to be able to land those types of sponsors and have them stay with you, that says a lot about you, your team, your family. I mean, and you should be proud as can be, you know, that they see enough value in you from a driver's point of view to an owner's point of view. Because, you know, driving's one thing, but you got to be able to walk, talk, and chew gum, and be a real positive, person representing them, the sponsor, and the track itself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not every night goes the way they're planned, and you just got to know you always got somebody watching you. I mean, and there's nights where I'm not happy, but it's not my sponsor's fault for that. So, you know, we try to handle ourselves in a very professional manner. And even all the people I have, all my crew and everybody that's part of this team, you know, we take a lot of pride in staying very professional. Uh-huh. And it helps. And we're always there to help anybody and do everything. Cause I went through a tough part of my racing career about 10 years ago. I broke my neck and my back.
Yeah.
And I was out of racing for like 14 to 15 months. And when I came back, I was not the same. And, you know, we went from winning and being very successful to actually a very humbling experience coming back.
Sure.
I'm still struggling at times. And so to have these sponsors that have stuck by me, even when our performance maybe wasn't mm-hmm. to where we needed to be, but they really believe that I represent their companies and right. themselves very well. And that's the main thing is you just got to realize when you got a sticker or decal or whatever name on your t-shirt of a company, you're representing them, and you got to just be very professional. I mean, cause you know, they take a lot of their hard earned money and put it towards something for you to go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a balance between it for sure.
Boy, when you find out you're not invincible anymore, boy, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, yeah, that was it was very hard mentally. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I've been there.
I mean, there was a lot of times when I came back that I was willing to, you know, I was just so frustrated that I wanted to give up.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of my crew, my family, my wife, Stephanie, and everybody to stand behind me and really just push me to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And we really brought the fun back.
Right.
You know, that's what I learned is I got so serious before I got hurt that we weren't really having a whole lot of fun. And so in this rebuild deal, we've just learned to have a lot of fun again.
Yep.
And it really brought us all around circle. And like I said, last year we finished fifth in the points and we had a lot of fun doing it.
That's excellent.
We didn't really have any, you know, feuds between each other. I mean, it isn't easy to do when you race 25 to 30 times a year, a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
And there's going to be disagreements throughout the team and the crew and everything. It's just being respectful of other people's opinion.
Yep.
And letting people talk. And we do a real good job at, you know, keeping everything pretty open door between everybody on the crew, from the tire guys to my crew chief to, you know, my car owners, my mom and my dad. We keep everything together, and we don't keep anything from anybody. And everybody has a valid opinion on what we do, you know. So, and it just, we try to make it a family deal.
There you go. All right, buddy. Hey, well, seriously, if you're in the San Diego area, or if you're in, or if you come down and you'd like to get some free TV for you and the kids and the whole family, I'm here for you. Just see Scott. He'll give you all my contact info.
Absolutely, and thank you again for having me on.
It's been a blast. I enjoyed it. All right, you take care, be safe, and go hug the family.
Will do.
All right, buddy. All right, folks, going to take a small break, but when I get back, I've got an interview again with Bobby Rahal. We've had another driver pass away, unfortunately. So stay tuned on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Go to 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee, right down the street from the drive-in. Yep, it's open. They're taking care of cars. They're working on race cars, street cars. They can do it all. Motorhomes, makes no difference. And if you're looking for those specialty under-the-hood cables and water lines and fuel lines, they've got hose specialties as well. The braided lines that you see really makes your underhood look good. Plus, it's safe, and those lines last almost forever. So check them out. Certified Car Clinic. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. That's certifiedcarcare.net. All right, Bobby Ray Hall, I've called him up again. Bob Lazier passed away, unfortunately. And so he did a really good piece, and I decided to give him a call and see if he'd chat with me. And once this is over with, I want to get him back on and talk about a group that he's a president of. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't really tell you. But sit back and take a listen to Bobby Ray Hall.
Well, unfortunately, folks, just COVID-19 has taken a lot of people all across the country, and it's attacked and taken one of our premium race folks, Bob Lazier, Indianapolis 500. Plus, he was a major builder in Vail, Colorado, which I was not aware of. And who do you talk to about somebody like that? You talk to the experts. I got Bobby Ray Hall on. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. So, Bob, he's probably one of the unsung heroes. You know, if you weren't really heavy into the history of motorsports, you may not even know who he was.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe his son's probably more famous than he is. Buddy, who won 500.
Yeah.
1996, but Bob was, he was something else. He was a great spirit, great energy. Always wore a smile. Nothing ever seemed to be too tough for him. Came from northern Minnesota. He and his wife, and on their way across country in like 1961 or two, stopped in Vail. And of course, Vail barely existed in those days, and they ended up staying there. And for a long time, Bob was one of the major, owned quite a few buildings. He was a carpenter by trade, and ended up owning quite a few buildings at one point in time in Vail. And just a piece of the like a piece of the furniture there. He'd been around so long. Everybody, he was almost like kind of like a godfather figure.
Yeah.
In Vail, everybody knew him, and he was universally liked and respected.
Well, and it's cute. I was reading a little bio on him, and he made that trek, if you can imagine, in a Morris Minor station wagon.
Yeah. Bob's a tall guy.
Bob's
like 6'3" or 4", so he's not a small guy.
No, and he pulls into a gas station to get gas, and these two employees come screaming out of the Vail Village Inn, shouting, "I'll never work for that blankety blank man again." And Diana Lazier and Bobby looked at each other, and they go, "Hey, we got jobs here in Vail." And I guess that was the beginning of it all.
That was all it took. But, he was a pretty good driver in his own right. He was a national champion in Formula B, which is a really, really strong series in 71, I think it was. And, of course, then he drove Indy cars and at the end of the decade in 79, 78, 79, I think it was, maybe even 80, 81. And was rookie of the year in kart. The guy, he could pedal a car. So he was able to, even though he didn't really do it on a full-time professional type basis, really sort of a kind of approached it on a part-time basis. Yeah, he was still a competitive guy.
Yeah, and we talked about this before. Back in those days, racing was not necessarily a business as much as it was a sport, and some excelled and some didn't. And he probably, if he would have put all of his efforts into racing, who knows where he could have went. His son did it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, for sure. I think Bob, you know, had Bob tried to be a race car driver on a full-time basis, I don't think there's any doubt that he would have he would have been very competitive. But, you know, I mean, he didn't even really get into IndyCar racing until his late 30s. So, you know, 38, 39. You know, as is often the case, you know, he had other priorities and other things came first. But he could definitely drive a race car.
Yeah, well, building Vail, Colorado is not a bad side job.
No.
Place is gorgeous. I mean, and a lot of it, you know, had to do with him. I mean, he was a builder. He was, so it's just another sad loss, you know, in the motorsport family.
Unfortunately, a lot of our heroes are getting to, you know, they're getting older, unfortunately, you know. You know, it's just, I guess, a matter of, it's just the way it is. But you know, he had 80 good years or 81 good years. And you know, now Buddy is, you know, of course, Buddy's a great guy. And you know, I'm sure they've already been running the business, really, he and Buddy and his wife, Kara. So I think, I don't think anything is going to change as far as the Lazier, you know, name or presence in central Colorado. But having said that, you know, Bob was just one of those characters, really, you know, just again, a great energy and right to the end, a great energy. So if you're going to miss anything, I think we're going to miss that.
Yeah, that you're absolutely true. Well, you know, our hearts and prayers go to him and his family. I know his wife has been archiving everything that's happened you know, up to his passing. So hopefully if that gets, you know, out to the general public, it'll give some people that are going through the same thing, you know, a little bit of, you know, peace of mind, you know, going through it. And I'm sure if people go to the Road Racing Driver Club, you know, website, I'm sure there'll be links if people want to, you know, purchase the book or however way it's going to be presented.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to buy it. I know that because you know Bob, but I think there's a lot more to the story than what we all know. So it should be entertaining if nothing else.
Well, you know, it's funny. I never was much of a reader until I got, I don't know, 50, 60 years old, and then now I'm right in the middle of reading a book on Niki Lauda, you know, and to be able to go back and read the history of these drivers from an era that will never ever be replicated, and to know that there'll be a book on Bob. I will, you know, I'll keep checking the website, and then once it's ready to go, and it's totally up to you and her, but if she would like to, you know, if she'd like me to interview her as well about the book to help promote it, I am definitely here for you guys.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. And I appreciate you, you know, appreciate you following the RODC and you know, we're fortunate to have had so many great drivers as members, and not just had, but have, you know, there's still a lot of great drivers. So we appreciate the interest in the RODC.
Well, I tell you what, in a week or two, I'll bug you again, and let's just talk about what is RRDC, the Road Racing Driver Club.
All right.
I don't think a lot of people really understand it. So I will definitely reach out to you, and we'll do a segment just on that alone.
All right, great.
All right, Bobby. Hey, it's always good talking to you. Be safe, my friend.
All right, take care of yourself.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.